Welcome to the Real Life Buyer Podcast. In this podcast, you will hear interviews with business owners, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, authors, and technical specialists in their field. These professionals will hasten your development, accelerate your career, and broaden your business know-how. Now, introducing your host, Dave Barr, interviewing with a purchasing twist.
Hello, and welcome to the Real Life Buyer. My guest today, Thomas Schwab, served as the president of Surgical Specialties and Medical Devices for 5 years before founding Goodbye Crutches in August 2009, and subsequently became the chief evangelist officer and founder of Interview Valet in 2014. Interview Valet helps non-fiction authors, thought leaders, coaches, consultants, and brands drive growth, leveraging other people's audiences through podcast interview marketing. Tom is also the author of two books, Podcast Guest Profits, Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy, often referred to as the Bible of podcasting guests, and One Conversation Away, a manifesto for a rich life and a profitable business. In this episode, I'm keen to explore the impact and importance of marketing through podcasts for brands, business professionals, and solopreneurs. So without further ado, I welcome Tom onto the podcast. Hi, Tom.
Dave, I am thrilled to be here.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for joining me today. Very interesting background. Your professional and entrepreneurial background appears to switch dramatically from medically based product businesses to using the power of podcast interview marketing. Tell us a little about this transformation and your backstory here, if you could.
Yeah, and I'll take it even back further because I don't see it so much as an evolution as a revolution. So I was trained as an engineer. My first job out of college was running nuclear power plants in the Navy. And it really taught me systems and processes. And then I went from there to corporate America, and that was the medical device side. And it was a lot of the same things, right? But one of the things that I noticed was that the biggest problem we all had was obscurity, right? There's lots of people that I could help in the medical device industry. They just didn't know who I was. Then when we got to Goodbye Crutches, and you know, there were a lot of patients that desperately needed us, they just didn't know who we were. And the thing is I believe that we don't buy the best, we buy the best we know of, right? And so the question became, how do I let people, nor people know about me? And Dave, I really think this whole idea of breaking through the noise today is laughable, right? We're all yelling, nobody's getting heard. And so back at every stage, it was like, how can I get in on the conversation that is always already going on? So with Goodbye Crutches, it was using guest blogging, right? That worked 20 years ago. And you could tap in and get that know, like, and trust. And after we built that business up and sold it off, I was in a sabbatical period. And some people that I was in a mastermind with said, well, how do you do this? And I'm like, well, blogs are so past right now. And I started to hypothesize, could you leverage podcast interviews almost like we used to leverage blogs or like leverage television, whatever it was, to tap in and get heard on where they're already listening? So we started to test that. It worked great and took everything that I had learned along the way and applied it here. And I often say that I believe that my grandfather, God rest his soul, would understand what I'm doing today, right? Because it's the same strategy he was using when he talked to the country club or the Rotary Club, but now we're just using technology to do it through a podcast.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's very helpful to explain that. And as you say, trying to get front and center, you know, with people these days is so competitive, very difficult to get your face known, your brand known, because as you say, there's a huge amount of noise, people interacting with you all the time. Now, you've got a secondary challenge here almost, is that you're meeting lots of clients, lots of brands, lots of things that they're doing, and you need to assess the needs of your client and obviously match those needs with the appropriate podcast. So how do you ensure the client sort of achieves the necessary impact and return on the time and investment? How do you select the right podcast for them and understand what they're looking for?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like most people say, well, what podcast do I want to go on? And I always take it one step further. What audience do you want to talk to, right? So when somebody says, oh, I want to be on, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast, it's like, No, what you really want to do is talk to Gary Vaynerchuk's audience. So there's a lot of tools and licensed databases that we use. And I have to laugh. I think 9 years ago when we started this, I got to admit, it was podcast guessing, not podcast guesting. So we look and say, what audience do you want to talk to? What are negative audiences that you don't want to talk to, right? If you can only serve people in the United States, well, you probably don't want to go on a podcast, you know, in Australia. Great people, but the time zones aren't going to work out. So we'll look at that. The other thing, so a lot of it is data. Another thing to look at is often the audience is like the host or aspires to be like the host, right? So I can remember a client came to us and, you know, he said he wanted to be on this podcast that focused on entrepreneurs because he wanted to talk to Fortune 500 CEOs in the United States. And I'm like, that is a great podcast, but have you ever heard how they start the podcast? Starts out with something like, yo, 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 this is TS and we are here talking with DB and we're talking about Real Life Buyer Podcast, right? And I'm like, do you think any Fortune 100 CEO is listening to that podcast? And he's like, probably not. I'm like, yeah, that's a different type of entrepreneur. So often, you know, if you're going for an older audience, go for I'm not going to say older, right? Because we're both about the same age. A more mature host. If you're going for a younger audience, go for a younger host. And the same thing, male and female, right? So, and then also just to think, would this host be a great client of mine? Would they be interested in my service? Because if they are, their audience will be.
Brilliant. So it's great. You have to dig into the mind of your clients, really get to understand what they're looking for. As you say, know the audience they're trying to appeal to and trying to match these people up with the right podcast. That's brilliant. But quite often people now say, well, it's great. I want to be on a podcast and they're super excited. But when they actually get in front of the camera, because we're in front of a camera here today and we're talking, everybody's going to hear us. That starts to churn in their heads, doesn't it? And they get very nervous. Now, that must be a real sticking point for some people. Not everybody is, shall we say, adventurous and used to doing this kind of thing. So how do you help them get over those fears, the nervousness? How do you prepare them and support them so they're at their best when they come on the show?
Yeah, it's really the lens that you look at it. And if you look at this as an interview, it can be intimidating, right? But I always say it's more of a discussion, right? By and large, podcast hosts are not trained journalists. They're not going to show up with 10 questions and number four is a gotcha, right? By and large, they're interesting people that want to have a discussion. And Dave, you and I would be having the same discussion if we were sitting down, you know, at the pub having a beer, right? It would be the same discussion. Okay, there might be different background noise, but it's just a lively discussion there. So I point out to people that. The other thing is the idea that you are an expert, right? Based on your knowledge, your experience of something in your area that you can talk about, right? I always joke if, you know, if you graduated fourth grade math, you're an expert to second graders that are trying to do their math. So that sort of thing. You're not the expert in everything to all people, but there's a niche there. And then finally, just in the process, we work through it with them. And I always have a walkthrough interview. And I call it a walkthrough. It's not a practice interview because they know their content. It's just to go through the workflows, all the resources, the best practices, just so they're comfortable with it. Because I want them comfortable, confident, and ready really to convert on every interview. And then we also listen to their podcast interviews afterwards, right? It's like watching game film. No one wants to watch game film, but it's important, right? That's what the professionals do. Because even when I'm on a podcast, I'll think, oh, I nailed that. And then I listen back to it and I'm like, I could have done this better and that better. And so it's just part of getting better.
That's really interesting that it's great you've mentioned that because I'm always curious to how do we ensure that the guests hone their skills? As you say, you play back the podcast and you critique it. So you offer us that service. You go through those podcasts, and then I guess you bring in the client and say, hey, let's review how things went. How are we going to improve this better? What sort of things do we need to prepare for? Is that the kind of process you have? How do you sort of drill down to really give them effective feedback?
Some of it is qualitative, some of it is quantitative. And our clients, you know, we make the maximum return on their investment of time and money. So a lot of times they don't have the time to listen back to it, or if we both listen at the same time, it can be painful. So in the past, I used to just listen to them, right? And it would always be, I would joke that I'd run at half X speed as I listened at 2X speed, and I would give them my opinion, right? That was sort of that qualitative. And now we've started to take the interviews and put them through a whole checklist, and it, where it's more quantitative, right? And we can tell them, hey, you talked over Dave 7 times, right? You talked 20% faster than Dave. You were speaking at an 8th grade level while the host was speaking at a college level, right? There was a bunch of jargon words that you used that you may have to explain or find other ones. And it's really interesting. We even do this internally with our team now on how fast they speak, because anybody that's listening to it, they know that Dave is speaking at the right tempo. It's the same tempo that he always speaks at. So if they're used to listening to the show at 1.5, and then I start talking really, really fast, I'm the one that sounds like a chipmunk, not you. So we always talk about, make sure that you're matching. What was it? I heard it referred to as mirroring with, Never Split the Difference with Chris Voss. I love that book, and he always talks about mirroring.
Absolutely. That's really fascinating to see how you bring those factors, those KPIs together almost. And I'm just almost thinking now from an HR perspective, human resource perspective, where you build the model, you have the classic cartwheel with all the different factors there. Do you almost make the web diagram, and where's the sweet spot on each one?
Yes. And there's different areas, like different people need different things, right? And I always say that I'm not there to change you. I'm just there to make sure that you get the best results on podcasts. And let me give you an example. We worked with a gentleman, brilliant. He's on national news probably 3 times a week. He can answer any question perfectly in 30 to 40 seconds. Morgan is spot on, right? And I remember after listening to his first podcast thinking, oh, this is going to be painful. This is a 40-minute podcast. The host asks him a 2-minute question, and boom, he can answer it in 30 seconds. Right? He's going to run out of questions here. And I'm like, Morgan, you're killing him. You've got to tell more stories. You've got to do more examples. And it was so true, because for television, he was perfect. For podcasts, he was way, way too short. And he said he enjoyed the podcast experience because it was more conversational, right? He said if he tried that on TV, if he's got a 3-minute segment, the host is talking for 1.5 minutes and he's talking for 1.5 minutes. He's like, it wouldn't work, but it really allowed him to get that message out there. And you just had to come through to it with the right lens.
Yeah, brilliant. That's really interesting. You have some fascinating things you've pointed out there. And you mentioned the word conversations. That's great, because conversations have the potential to propel us personally and professionally. And the way we interact with people has a huge impact. It's not necessarily the words, but how you say the words and the meaning behind the words. Now, I'm seeing more and more of a trend now. I feel I'm seeing more of a trend where it's going from experts in their field almost that have been unknown to people who are career experts and want to get themselves out more publicly. Are you seeing podcasting for career development as being the next revolution, the next stepping stone in people's careers?
I don't know if it's new. I think it's always been there from the standpoint of you have to be known for your career. And go back 20 years ago, that meant you had to be published. You had to be going around and speaking at different conferences. And I can think of a publicly traded company we worked with early on in COVID. The CMO came to us and he said, my people used to be out once a month, once a quarter, talking at all of these conferences. And he says, now they're in the witness protection plan. right? No one will know who they are. They won't know who we are. There's other people that we've worked with that are corporate recruiters, and they say it's so important for your career to be known, because if people Google you or haven't heard of you and there's nothing out there, it's really hard to say, this is the perfect person, you know, for this spot. We've even seen it now in education. We've worked with quite a few colleges and universities. And in the States, there's a ranking that's called the U.S. News and World Reports of, you know, the best colleges. And it used to be what professors were publishing in what peer-reviewed journals. And now it's like, what professors are publicly known? Where are they talking? And are they invited to different things? And podcasts are a part of that. And I have to laugh at times. I'm thinking, somebody has worked so hard on their master's thesis or their doctoral thesis. And, you know, then it goes and sits on some shelf and nobody knows about it. Or it gets in a peer-reviewed journal that nobody knows about. And we've worked with quite a few where they go out on podcasts and talk about, this is the research I did. This is what it means. This is how you can apply it. And not only are they getting that authority for their university, but they're also getting hired as consultants saying, that's a great idea. Can you help me implement it?
Yeah, that's really good. I think the development and the use of podcasts certainly is much more advanced in the US, for example, than the UK. In the UK, I still interact with people now. Recently, I went on holiday, for example, and I was chatting to the people around the table and they asked me what I did. And one of the things I do, I have a podcast. And you'll be surprised how many people looked at me and said, what's a podcast? Even now in the UK. So to have something like a podcast recording an event on your resume is quite unusual, really exceptional, in fact, in the UK. And so that's why I mentioned where people are starting to listen to them, but now starting to believe, well, perhaps if you said here, you put all this work into something, why not get the benefit of that work and make sure people are aware of your competence, your skills, the things that you do, the things you're planning to do, get it out there, you know, in the ether to really promote yourself now. So it's quite a change. And as I said, the UK, I'd say, is a little bit behind the US in that. But so I'm seeing more and more of people becoming aware. I was just curious to see if you're getting people who have never been out there, never been public, feeling that they almost need to do a podcast to make sure that they have the opportunities that a resume on its own wouldn't necessarily give.
Yes. And while the UK you may see it as behind us, I would say the quality that the UK started with was so much better. And that's probably when BBC started to come into podcasts, NPR here in the States, it really leveled it up. Early on, you'd say, I've got a podcast. And if people knew what a podcast was, it was like, oh, it's one of those geeky people that are like in their basement and talk to themselves. Now to say, I've got a podcast, it's like, oh, wow. That, you know, in the US, they'll mention, you know, this person wrote this book and has this podcast on national news. So I think it's important. And also, people judge you and want to get to know you, right, before they work with you. And there's no better way to do that. And I think that audio is actually even more powerful than video. There's a great book called Leadership Literacies by Johansson. He's a futurist out of Stanford. And I remember reading that, and he said, the future is vivid audio. And now, I was listening to his book, and I had to rewind that. I'm thinking, no, it's vivid video. And his point is that audio is timeless and it's also less judgmental. So when we see somebody in a video, often we're like, they're too old, they're too young, they don't look like me. Or you look at the size of the lapels on their coat and you're like, oh, that's really, really old, right? Whereas you listen to audio and you're really listening for the content. And how many times have we had it where we've listened to someone on the radio, you know, a disc jockey in the morning. And in our mind, we think this is what they look like. And then we meet them and they're totally different. So, and we always think of them in a positive aspect. So well, that's one of the things that I really like about podcasting is that it's timeless and it also people get to know you, your thoughts, the content not judge you by, wow, Tom Schwab's got a whole lot of gray hair.
Lovely, lovely. Now, you mentioned a few things there. Are there some misconceptions, some pitfalls that trying to promote through podcasts just don't work?
I think your word that you used there was promote, right? I don't think today anybody wants to be sold anything, right? We all love buying. We hate being sold, right? So if you go on a podcast just to sell either your own podcast or being a guest on a podcast, it won't work, right? Often the recording will get lost, right? Because it's not the medium for it. We're not on here to listen to an infomercial. And I love the way Rand Fishkin wrote a book called Lost and Founder. He says, the best way to sell something today is not to sell anything, but to earn the respect, awareness, and trust of those who might buy. And I would say on podcasts, you're looking at it and say, of those ready to buy, right? Because if you look at the data in the US, 51% of the population listens to podcasts, right? 70% of them listen to the entire podcast. And these are people that are early adopters. They're people that are looking for new ideas, new solutions, right? There's still that third of the people that probably haven't read a book since high school and they're so proud of it, right? They're good people, right? But if you're trying to sell some new idea, they're probably not the best ones for it. So I just look at it as is today more than ever, our marketing should be magnetic, right? And people are like, yeah, it should draw everybody to us. It's like, no, that's not how a magnet works. A magnet attracts the right people and repels the wrong people, right? After somebody listens to you for 30 or 45 minutes, they either turn you up or turn you off, right? Either one is fine.
Brilliant. I do like that. It's a great analogy there. Thanks. Now, you mentioned the word storytelling a few times now, and I absolutely empathize with that. It's really interesting. I feel I understand things much more when it's through a story. And I see it as a key aspect of achieving engaging conversations. How many business professionals do you see incorporate storytelling techniques into their marketing and communication strategies so they captivate the right clients and suppliers? Do you feel there's a lot more training, a lot more work needed in this area? What do you recommend?
Definitely, and based on the medium, right? So if you are sitting down with a buyer and you can show them graphs and charts, they'll remember that, right? But if you're talking with them on the phone or they're on a podcast and you start talking numbers, it'll just glaze over, right? They won't remember that. So I think making sure the medium matches the message there, and then also to always back it up with a story, because that's what people will remember, right? They won't remember, you know, that Craig Cody, you know, grew his business by 600% in the first year and 1200% by the last year or the second year. But when I tell the story of, hey, there was this amazing chief financial officer, he's a CPA, right? And he more personality than anyone. He was a retired New York City detective. And he started to use podcasts and he got out there and he got known and it kept building on itself. Everyone builds on the other one, so that at 1 year, he got 600% return on investment. And at 2 years, he was already at 1200%, right? At the end of that, people are going to remember, oh yeah, there was this guy that was a CPA. He used to be a cop. It worked well for him and it kept working better with time, right? If you just start throwing out numbers, people get lost.
Yeah. Now, when you're dealing with somebody who's a guest, who's quite academic, talking, as you say, with numbers, with facts, it's a comfortable ground for them. Storytelling can be quite difficult. There are people I know are the most awesome storytellers and they engage their audience. They don't necessarily go out to do that. They just have that natural propensity to get people to gather around them. And no matter what they say, it's funny, it's engaging. You know, you kind of hate those kind of people, don't you? They're so good at it. So how do you help your clients that are perhaps that way inclined when they're numbers people, they're factual people? You know, they talk in short, precise sentences, but don't tell stories.
I think part of it is from the very beginning to say, is this the best medium for you? Because I don't think podcasts are the best medium for everyone. just like blogs aren't the best medium for everyone, right? I've written a lot of blogs in my life. They all feel like a homework assignment. That's not how I naturally communicate. So to just look at the very beginning, is this the best way for you? Maybe you're better on video. You know, maybe you need these backups. Maybe you need the webinar. And for certain things, if you're at high level finance, you may not be able to just tell stories to do this. But for the ones that are coachable and understand this, I always tell them, this is the best thing going, right? You've got a great opportunity here. You can tell the story and then reference, you know, I've got all the numbers behind that. Just go back to my website and you can find them there and it'll make more sense there. I could tell them here, but it would make sense. You just gave them the perfect reason from going from being a listener to a visitor to your site. And we actually discovered this early on. Oh, it was probably 8 years ago, where there was a gentleman. He was a professional photographer and he told great stories. And every time that he'd finish the story, he'd say, I'll just go back to the website, right? I'll build this page just for this audience and I'll put those pictures up there. People would just go back there just to see that. And so he used a weakness and turned it into a strength as this is the ultimate call to action to move people back there. And so it really works out. And like I said, if people understand how to use the medium and what they're trying to do, it can be very powerful.
Brilliant. Now, talking about success stories, I'd love to hear some examples of success stories that you've created, some clients that you've brought in and you've transformed their businesses or their professional presence, should we say, out in media. Can you talk us through a couple of examples of what you did, where they started and where they get to?
Yeah, there's a few that strike me. One of them is Barbara Turley. She runs a fantastic company called The Virtual Hub, right? So she's an Irish woman that lives in the south of France that runs a company out of the Philippines. And right, VA companies, it's like, oh yeah, I've heard those, right? They're a dime a dozen. She's got a different way of doing it, right? Of where she finds the people, how she trains them, how she treats them, how it's a relationship. And there's no way I'm going to get that from a quick Facebook ad or an email. And she's just such a lovely person that it resonates so well. And, you know, for the last, we've worked with her since pre-COVID, probably the last 4 years, she's grown her entire business off of that. She's learned the process and she's even said, you know, I've got over 500 great VAs working for me, right? If it was just about reaching out to hosts, I could have them do that. But she's like, understanding the strategy behind that has been so important. And, you know, the other one that I'll point to, I mentioned him before, Craig Cody. I love how podcasts you can use as market research too, right? So Craig, here's a guy in Long Island. And when he first started, he told us he wanted 50 clients in the States, one in every state, one in every industry. And I'm like, why? And he said, because the last recession, everybody was local to me and brick and mortar. And I almost got wiped out. He says, I want to ultimately diversify. So we started to put him on podcasts and, you know, we measure everything. And he got on a podcast with dentists and Dave, it was like fish in a barrel, right? And so he took it back to him and he says, oh, I love dentists, right? They're professional. They've got good cash flow. They're recession proof. And we talked with him and it's like, let's go after dental podcasts. For the next 6 months, that's all he did, right? And he built up his entire practice on that. He started his own dental podcast from the business side. And so I love how that you can use it for market research also. And, you know, the final one I'll point out is a brand. And I remember talking with their chief marketing officer and they finally brought in the CEO who's going to be the talent talking. We got into the presentation and, you know, 5 minutes in, Dave, sometimes the CEO is the best buyer because he drilled down on it. And he's like, okay, so you're telling me all I've got to do is get on a podcast. And we did all the numbers for him. And he's like, I've got to convert two people to our product, right? It was a software as a service product. And that if I convert two people, that it pays for itself that first month. And we're like, yeah. And he looked at his CMO and he says, what other medium do we have that has that low of a bar and pays for itself the first month? And I loved how he looked at it. He goes, if this doesn't work, he says, you need to fire me not fire interview valet, because he said, if you get me in front of thousands of people, deal people, and I can't convert too, he says, either it means the product is bad or I'm a bad spokesperson. Either way, I should be fired. And we loved working with them. It was about 18 months and then they got acquired and the new parent company didn't want to do it. But he said, not only did it grow our business, but he said the person that ultimately acquired us heard me on a podcast.
Ah, that's really interesting. That's superb. Do you know if he went on and carried on doing podcasts, but in a different company, or perhaps for himself?
Actually, he's semi-retired right now. So I'm sure that it's been about 18 months. Knowing this gentleman, he's probably got the itch to start another company, and I should reach out, because he'll probably reach out to me and say, "Hey, we got to get out and talk about this on podcasts." You know, he was a very dynamic person. And I would say we're all dynamic and passionate about what we love, right? Ask someone about their passions and they'll talk about it. You know, ask someone about their children, they'll talk about it, right? Ask them about their business, which is like their child, they'll talk about it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, before I ask my final question, now, I'm sure people are getting quite intrigued about what you do, how you help people, how you help other companies. Where's the best place for them to go and seek you out?
Yes. And I'll pull behind the curtain here. Our studies have shown the best practice is send people to one place, right? Don't send them to your website, your Twitter, your LinkedIn. It just confuses them. So we always make a page for every podcast. It's called a welcome page, right? If you want to see one, what looks like, just go to interviewvalet.com/real life. And everything Dave and I talk about will be there. And I'll put a few resources there. There's one that's assessment, 10 questions. Will podcast interview marketing work for me? Dave was nice enough to mention my books. I sell a lot on Amazon, but I'm more than happy to give you a free copy. That'll be there also. And then if you'd like to talk and say, how could I use and leverage podcasts, and specifically podcast guesting in my business, I'll put my calendar link there. So all of that will be back at interviewvalet.com/real life.
That's superb. Thank you very much for sharing that. I really do appreciate that. You mentioned those two books. I think it's worthy, you know, it's an incredible achievement to write one book, let alone two books. So, you know, just remind people, podcast guest profits, and One Conversation Away. Intrigued now, obviously you start the business 2014. What drove you to author these? How did you research them? And particularly, what impacts have you seen they've made on business owners, entrepreneurs, and podcast hosts from having been involved in reading those?
Yeah, the first one was really the playbook of how we did it, right? What we do is not a mystery. It's not a secret. I want people to get the benefit of that so they can do it right. So podcast guest profits was really, hey, here's the strategy, here's the tactics. Here's how you do it. Here's the things to think about. And I love that book because I was telling people the things that they would ask all these times. And it forced me to think through it, put it in a logical order, and then be able to share it with people very quickly and add benefit to them. I can think of at least 6 agencies that have been built off of that book. And people would say, you just hired, or you just, you know, educated your competitors. And I'm like, the market is growing so fast. I want people to be able to do it and do it right. There was 2 gentlemen down in South Africa that during the pandemic, they lost their jobs. They were into podcasting. They read my book and they're like, we want to start an agency, right? Just focused on the South African market. And they're like, everything's built off your book. And I'm like, that's great, right? Reach out. If you have any questions, let me know, right? So that book has helped me. It's helped other people. And I'm very proud of that. But then it got to be a number of years later, starting to think about the strategy of why do we do this, right? And maybe I should have started with the strategy. But in marketing today, I hear so many people just talking about, you know, break through the noise. You're just one funnel away, you know, more is better. Always be closing. All of these things that just make my hair stand up, right? It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. It's like, no, That's not the way it's ever worked. That's not the way it's going to work in the future, right? We're all just one conversation away, right? From your next great client, from your next great customer, from your next great relationship, right? And how can we have more meaningful conversations? And I even think, you know, from a world perspective too, right? There's a lot of problems in the world, but there's no better time to be alive, right? We've all got more in common than we do apart from each other. And we've got to stop yelling at each other and listening to more and just have meaningful conversations with people, because we figure out that we've got more in common with them. So that's sort of the things that have drawn me on those books. And I'm very happy with those books and pleased with the impact they've made.
That's fantastic. And I quite agree. A conversation, people buy from people, don't they? As in reality. And if it's somebody who's just, as you say, selling to you, you're not engaging with them at any kind of level. It could be an AI really talking to you. There's no interaction. Whereas a conversation, you're getting to know each other, respect each other, share some interests, you know, really start to know the person. And then you may want to buy from them. You know, it's a really different process. And I love having, as we're having today, a great conversation. You learn so much and you share so much and you feel quite empathetic to the person opposite you.
And isn't that what life is supposed to be? I mean, it's supposed to be human, personal. The technology should amplify us, not replace us. And Dave, I appreciate all that you do.
Thank you very much. It's been brilliant talking to you today, Tom. I really do appreciate your time. Thank you ever so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
So there's another Real Life Buyer podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it and it's given you some ideas and inspiration for greater action and achievement. If you are a purchasing or a supply chain professional, business owner or director, come and join my Facebook group, the Purchasing and Supply Chain Community Hub, a safe place to engage with like-minded, friendly people. See you soon. Bye.